God created us to have dominion. He didn't create us to take dominion over people or try to control people or try to dominate people. He created us to dominate the devil, to dominate our fears, to dominate our demons, to dominate our emotions, to dominate our mindsets, to dominate our money. You can't let your money or your body dictate to you how you're going to live. You have to dictate to those things. Welcome to Think Like a Champion, a podcast dedicated to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. It's our 84th podcast, and I'm excited to be with you. And before we dive in, I want to thank everyone who's written a review or shared this podcast on social media. Thanks for helping us expand our community of champions. That's what we're here to build, a culture of champions, a community of champions, and we can't do it without you. Every post, every review, it really does make a difference in helping us reach more people. So thank you, and please keep sharing. Share with somebody right now. All right, we're going to dive right into today's content, how to deal with difficulty in life. How do you deal with difficulty in life, whether you're starting a business, whether you have a family, whether you're dealing with physical difficulties, spiritual, emotional, financial difficulties. I find that difficulties come in three shapes and sizes. I'll get to that in a moment, but we're not going to eliminate difficulty in our life. We're not going to eliminate difficult times. So often people are expending their energy to try to foolproof their lives, to try to isolate themselves from difficulty. Life is hard sometimes, and difficult times will come. If we're just trying to sidestep and navigate around life so that we don't face difficulty, it's a waste of energy. We might as well use our energy to overcome the wrong way of thinking and the wrong way of looking at difficulty. We're wasting our energy. Our energy will serve us better if we use it to change the way we look at difficulties. Instead of trying to get rid of problems, instead of trying to get rid of difficulty, we have to look at it differently. We have to take a different perspective about difficulty. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You'll have trials, tests, difficulty, opposition, persecution. So since it's unavoidable, we might as well address how to face it, how to look at it. Are we looking at it the right way? Are we really going through a hard time just because? Are we really suffering because we're facing a difficult situation? Or is that just life and we have to learn how to be happy in the midst of it? And I think it's more of the latter. We have to learn how to master our emotions when we go through difficult times, because we're not going to get rid of difficult times. Well, there are three primary places where difficulty comes from, or three shapes and sizes, if you will, of difficulty. It's difficult problems, difficult people, and a difficult past. So we all have these three things that we have to face. Difficult problems. What kind of problem are you facing? Is it a difficult problem? Well, welcome to the club. Do you have some difficult people in your life? Welcome to the party. Do you have a difficult past? Some things in your past that are either unreconciled, or they're still haunting you, or trauma that you haven't been willing to face, or something that you did that you're still living in the shame or the guilt of. We all need to deal with these difficulties. So difficult problems, difficult people, and difficult past. So how we look at these things is what's going to determine how happy we're going to be in life. You can be a victim of difficult people. You can be a victim of difficult problems. You can be a victim of difficult past. You can try to keep spending your energy trying to get rid of difficulty, or you can become a dominator of difficult times. Like to really the flex here, the hack here is being happy even though you're dealing with a difficult person. Being kind, even though that person is not being kind to you. What difficulty are you facing right now? The victory is not in getting rid of the difficulty. The victory is in making the difficulty lose its power over you. When you no longer have to get rid of it in order to be happy, now you've won. When you no longer need to get rid of that person in order to be happy, when you no longer have to get rid of that problem in order to be happy, when you no longer have to get rid of that past, not, and you're still happy, that's when you have power over it. That's when it loses its power over you. Well, everybody deals with difficult people. I was talking to someone recently who deals with more difficult people than anyone in the world, God. And he spoke to me about dealing with difficult people. God spoke to me and said, there's two steps to dealing with difficult people. Number one, because I said, Lord, you're dealing with more difficult people than I am. I'm probably one of the difficult people you're dealing with. So how do you do it? How do you face it? How do you get the victory over this? Number one, don't try to change them. And number two, don't take what they do personally. It's a them problem, not usually and not always a you problem. God told me, in fact, as I was asking him about this topic and asking him about some of the difficulties that are in my life, and he spoke this to me, and he said, son, I don't even force people to change. I don't even force people to change. See, you can't base your happiness on whether someone else changes. You can't base your happiness on whether someone else is becoming the best version of themselves. Your happiness has to be based on whether you will be the best version of yourself in the situation and in the difficult time. We have to dominate our mindsets when difficulty comes. Dominating your mindset, dominating your emotions. God created us to have dominion. He didn't create us to take dominion over people or try to control people or try to dominate people. He created us to dominate the devil, to dominate ourselves, to dominate our fears, to dominate our demons, to dominate our emotions, to dominate our mindsets, to dominate our money. He created us to dominate our health. You can't let your money or your body dictate to you how you're going to live. You have to dictate to those things. You have to dictate to your body. The mind has to tell the body how to run. The mind has to tell the money what to do. If you start talking to your money rather than letting it talk to you, start telling your money, money, you are in my life in abundance, and I'm not under your control, you're under my control. And you start talking to your money, come to me, money come forth, and money, go and do good things through my life. I know that seems strange, right, to start talking to your money, but we need to be talking to everything in our life. We need to be talking to ourselves. We listen to ourselves enough, right? Our money's speaking to us. Our bank account's talking to us. We need to start talking back to those things. It's time to dominate your life. Instead of your body telling you, oh, I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like doing business today. I don't feel like eating good today. I don't feel like exercising today. Hey, join the club. None of us feel like it all the time. We have to get past living by our feelings. We have to have a divorce with our emotions. We need to break up with our emotions. That means that you can have emotions, but you can't let them have you. We need to fall. I like to say we need to fall out of love with our feelings. You say, how do you fall out of love with your feelings? How do you fall out of love with anybody? You stop listening to them. You stop considering them. You stop valuing what they have to say. Boom, there it is. That's how you fall out of love with your feelings. You stop listening to your feelings. You stop letting them control you. You stop making them the idol that you worship. Stop it. You have power over your emotions. You have power over your feelings. Fall out of love with them. Fall out of love with your feelings. Too often we're married to our feelings. We're trying to please our feelings. We're trying to make our feelings feel right. Why not just make your life about the habits, the belief system and the habits that you're going to commit to, because we make our habits and then our habits make us. So commit to a certain set of habits. Commit to the mindset of domination, a mindset of dominion, a mindset of dominating mindsets, a mindset of dominating fear, a mindset of dominating difficulty. We're not going to get rid of all the people in our life who are difficult. In fact, we have to start looking at them differently and really receive them as gifts to our life, because a difficult person in your life is one of the greatest blessings you can have, because that difficult person makes you have to look at yourself. It makes you have to face what that person is, that nerve that person is touching. Having a difficult person in your life is a blessing from God, because it forces you to deal with your own character. It forces you to stop trying to sanitize your life. Stop trying to have a perfect life. Stop trying to have only perfect people in your life. I know this comes on the heels of our last topic, which was learning to surround ourselves with the right people. But we have to also recognize that sometimes difficult people are in our lives, and it's not necessarily something we can get rid of that person. There are some people we need to get rid of from our life, but you can't get rid of your family, really. You can't get rid of the people you work with. There's a lot of people you just can't get rid of. You can't get rid of the policeman that pulled you over and you claim that was a difficult time. Well, it was a difficult time if you were speeding, because you're going to get a ticket. It was a difficult time, God forbid, if you're driving under the influence of anything other than the Holy Spirit, right? Of anything other than sound thinking. But difficult people are going to be in your life, and God told us, and God showed me, first of all, don't try to change them, and secondly, don't give them power over you. Don't let them control how you're going to feel. You make up your mind how you're going to feel. You make up your mind how you're going to, how life's going to go. Man, when you get a hold of this, that every day can be your best day, that you can wake up every day and have confidence that today's going to be my best day, because I'm not going to let life dictate to me what emotions that I'm going to display and what emotions I'm going to be under the control of. I'm going to dictate to it. If I stick with the mindsets of a champion and I stick with the habits of a champion, listen, if every day you woke up and you knew there's three mindsets that I'm committed to today and there's three habits I'm committed to today, like, look, just for example, if you just said, today I'm not a victim, I'm gonna face and have this champion mindset that I'm a victor, not a victim, that I am more than a conqueror. I'm gonna face today with this mindset that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm gonna face today with this mindset that something good is going to happen to me. I'm going to face today with this mindset that I'm going to become better and better, and happiness is going to be a way of life for me. Now, these are just two or three mindsets that I'm giving you, that if you just married those mindsets, then everything in your life would become better, because now you're in control of your attitude rather than letting anything else be in control of your attitude. And if you had three habits that you were committed to every day, like the habit of exercise, the habit of talking to God and praying, the habit of being kind and making somebody's day better. Let's just say that you had those habits every day. I guarantee you every day in your life will be as good or better than the last one. Guaranteed. Why? Because you're in control of your mindsets, and now you're in control of your habits, and they don't have to be 100 habits. You can have two or three primary habits that bring you joy and happiness. You could have two or three mindsets that take precedence over anything else, an attitude of victory, an attitude that you're an overcomer, an attitude that you're a dominator, an attitude that you're more than a conqueror. You see, attitude is powerful, because attitude takes, it's when you have this mindset. Attitude is a mindset that takes precedence over any other fact. I'm going to have a joyful attitude, which takes precedence over any other stimuli coming to my mind, giving me reasons to not be happy, giving me reasons to not rejoice, giving me reasons to not celebrate, giving me reasons to not praise God. I'm already dictating what attitude I'm going to have, so that when those other stimuli hit me, They just fall off of me like rain would fall off of a shield, like rain would fall off of a sunroof, like rain would just bead and just fall off of a leaf that was in its full bloom. Listen, you have control, and that's what gives happiness in life. I realize there are some things out of our control. We trust God with those things. But then there are some things that God has given us control over, and he's trusting us with those things. So the things that you have control over, God's trusting you with those things. And the things you don't have control over, we're trusting God for those things. And if we get that right, not get that mixed up, like we're not giving God the assignment to be responsible for the things he's already given us control over, we can't give that back to him. Lord, you've given me control over my attitude, but I want to give that back to you. And I would just pray that you would take care and control my attitude for me. Sorry, that prayer isn't going to get answered because God's not going to control your attitude for you because he already gave you the power to control your attitude. So guess what? You have the power to control it. Woo! That sets you free from the control of anybody else or anything else happening in life. You better shout before I come through that camera and just tell you this face to face. I hope you're getting old. Listen, there's this great verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, difficult times will come. And in fact, it says in the last days, difficult times will come. Man, we are facing difficult times in this world today. Whether it's difficult times with wars, difficult times with politics, difficult times with the economy, difficult times with fear and terror and all sorts of tragedies that occur. The Bible here tells us in 2 Timothy 1, difficult times will come, but then it tells us why those difficult times come. And difficult times are created by difficult people. Listen, what he says in verse 2, for men, so he says, in the last days, difficult times will come. Be aware of this. Difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So notice he says in verse 1, be aware difficult times are going to come. And then he tells us why difficult times are going to come. He says because there are going to be people that are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, that are proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, irreconcilable. You know, every problem in this world today is because somebody is doing one of these things. They're being a lover of themselves, they're being arrogant, they're being dishonoring, unloving, unforgiving, gossiping, without self-control. So, and then he says, these are people that often have a form of godliness. So on the outside, they're saying, we believe in God. We're doing this in God's name. And, but they, it says they have a form of godliness, an appearance on the outside of godliness, but they deny the real power of God. From such people, the Bible says, turn away. And you know, before we start pointing our finger at other people, and those are the people that we need to turn away from, we need to ask ourselves, are these things abiding in me? Because this verse says, avoid such people as these. So we need to avoid being such people, and then we start avoiding such people. He said, first you got to avoid being. My encouragement to you is, for all of these reasons that difficult times come, people will be lovers of themselves, malicious gossip, without self-control, unforgiving. You see, if you are unforgiving, you'll bring more difficulty in your life. If you are a malicious gossip, you'll bring more difficulty in your life. If you are without self-control, you'll bring more difficulty in your life. If you are arrogant, you'll bring more difficulty in your life. You know what reduces difficulty in life? Being a lover of God. Pursuing the art of loving God because he first loved you. You know, when you simplify your life, a lot of this difficulty falls off. What we're pursuing. On social media, it blows my mind how many people are pursuing quick wealth. Get rich quick. Get followers quick. Get, you know, more people advertising on your page. Get more money, 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 money. That is a recipe for difficulty, more difficulty, more difficulty, more difficulty, and more difficulty. You want to simplify your life? Stop going after money and start going after God. Stop going after money and start going after impact. Stop going after money. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with money, but because money in and of itself is inanimate. It's neutral. It amplifies the volume of whatever your life is. If you're generous, the more money you have, the more generous you're going to be. If you're stingy and selfish, the more money you have, the more stingy and selfish you're going to be. You know, if you're, you could just go on and on with the examples of that. But my point here is to get you to see that there's nothing wrong with money, but when the attitude you have towards it, the pursuit of it is going to awaken much more difficulty in your life. When you pursue God and pursue making an impact with your life, making a difference with your life, now money will come to you to serve that purpose. Rather than you chasing it, it will start chasing you. It chases after purpose, even if the purpose is bad. We know that money chases bad people sometimes because they have a bad purpose, but they know how to tap into getting money to come to them for their evil purpose or their misguided purpose, even if it's not evil. So if we will go after God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Life will start adding to you rather than you trying to go after it. You know, difficult times come because we have our priorities on the wrong things. Difficult times, more difficulty comes when we put second things first, or put first things last, or put first things second. Wow. You know, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be bullied by it. Don't be deceived by difficulty, thinking that I have to spend my life getting rid of difficult problems, rather than learning how to spend your life with a mindset of gratitude, with the mindset of thankfulness, with the mindset that, you know, this difficult person is somehow going to serve to my benefit, and I'm going to become a better person because of this difficult person. When I was in college, my first year, I asked for a roommate that was an international student from another country. Well, this guy, man, they put me with. He was the worst human being that I can possibly remember up to that point in my life. He was mean. He was fiery, angry. He was self-righteous. He was judgmental. He was inconsiderate. Boy, now it's starting to make me mad just thinking about him. But I'm telling you, that guy was a blessing to my life because I had to learn how to control my emotions in the presence of somebody that, in my opinion at that time, was just a really, really bad person. I was probably even worse at the time, more self-righteous perhaps. I don't know. But that guy, I don't see him as a difficulty in my life. I see him as now as a blessing because I have the advantage of looking back and saying, you know what, that forced me to examine myself. That forced me to deal with myself. That forced me to take the log out of my eye so I could see clearly to take the speck out of his. You know, if we would really get a hold of that, we would see life can be so much better when we realize Romans 8:28 is the most undefeated force in this universe. You know, there's no undefeated NFL teams left. Everybody's lost at least one or two games in the NFL, and it's only week 7 or whatever it is. But you know what's undefeated? Romans 8:28. And what does it say? It says, God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, God doesn't cause all things, but he finds a way to take all those things, put them together, and cause them to work for your good. So even the difficult people in your life, God will take them and use them to make you a better person and to make your life better somehow, because he's all the while at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Boy, if we could really see that Romans 8:28 is undefeated, then we'd start seeing negative things as blessings. We would see life happening for us rather than life happening to us. I used to say that all the time about change the two to a four. Life is no longer happening to me, but life is happening for me. And when you get a hold of that, then you're no longer afraid of bad things happening in life. You're no longer bracing yourself, oh, something bad's going to happen today. Something good's going to happen today. Even when something bad happens today, something good is going to come out of that bad thing. When you go into life like that, life becomes sweet. And even the bitter moments serve a purpose to make you appreciate the sweet moments. Peter said something very powerful in 1 Peter chapter 4 when he said, "Beloved," that right there is a message, "Beloved." You need to know that you are God's beloved. But he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Don't be surprised at the trial and the difficulty that comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." He says, why are you surprised? You know how we lose battles sometimes is the element of surprise. One of the great tricks of a powerful military is an element of surprise. You think they're coming this way, but they end up coming the other way. You think they're coming from over you, but then they come under you. I mean, I'm just giving some examples, but some small, silly examples to try to make that point. But the fact is that when you no longer allow difficult things to surprise you, when you realize, okay, I'm expecting difficult times to come, but I am confident that God is going to turn that difficult thing into something good. He says, to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing. He said, man, when this comes on you, when you're dealing with something, when difficulty comes, rejoice. Because he says, if you can rejoice in those difficult times, at the revealing of his glory, you're going to rejoice and be overflowing in joy. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, the glory of God rests upon you. He says, make sure that none of you suffer because you're doing wrong. If you're going to suffer because you're doing what's right. If you're going through a hard time, but you brought it upon yourself, there's no glory in that. But when somebody mistreats you because you're a believer, somebody mistreats you because you're trying to do good to others, Now the glory of God comes upon you, and you're going to shine in the midst of that difficulty, and you're going to see the best days and the best things turn from and the best things come from those difficult times and those difficult people. Listen, you become the best you when you endure people when they're the worst them. You become your best you when you endure people when they are the worst them. You get a hold of that and life is going to begin to really be sweet. And we're out of time for today's podcast, but I want to thank you for joining me. I got some steps I want to take you through next time we talk about this. Thanks for being a part of Think Like a Champion today. Would you share this with someone who needs to hear it? And would you subscribe to the podcast? I want to ask you right now, subscribe to the podcast. Hit that subscription button on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you to those of you who give. If you want to make a donation and pay it forward to help somebody else become a part of this community of champions, would you go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and make your tax-deductible donation there, lifechangerschurch.com/give. And thank you in advance. Until next time, keep thinking like a champion, because everything is going to be all right. God bless.